question tonight is what is the gospel? I'm sure you've heard that term or that word, but I ask myself often, I never grow too old to repeat the question, what is the gospel? The word itself means good news. The word itself can be used in the form of a term that expresses and explains a person that preaches the gospel, and that person is called an evangelist, one that gives the good news or tells the good news. Philip, one of the disciples in the book of Acts, is called the evangelist. Paul tells Timothy to do the work of an evangelist, literally the work of spreading the good news, the gospel. The book of Ephesians in chapter 4 talks about God giving some evangelist. And so in that sense, it's a noun descriptive of a person that spreads the good news or gives the good news. And all of that, again, indicates that we're supposed to be individuals that believe in the good news. What is the good news? Jesus is the answer, and we'll see that. That is the answer of good. If we're going to quantify good and what good is, Jesus is the answer. That's right. I appreciate it. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is seen in verse 23 going about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues, and he's preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. It's interesting in the Sermon on the Mount when he gives the model prayer, he says, "Thy kingdom come," verse 10, "thy will be done in earth." The kingdom was still being established. In Matthew again 4:23, he's preaching the good news of the kingdom. In John chapter 18, at the crucifixion, right there before Pontius Pilate, in John 18:36, Jesus talks about the kingdom and says that the kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight physically, that I should not be delivered to the Jews or crucified. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Jesus is preaching the gospel of the kingdom that's coming. In the Sermon on the Mount, in the model prayer, he says at that time, you're going to pray in this manner, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In John 18:36, he says the kingdom's almost here, but he says the kingdom's not of the world. The kingdom is about the good news, though, or the gospel. The question is, again, what is the gospel? Well, all of this that we're talking about is about the gospel. In Acts chapter 2, the first time the gospel is preached, in the fullness of the power that our brother here mentioned just a moment ago, and I'll show you that in just a second. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 29 and following, we mentioned this a moment ago, Peter the apostle with the other apostles declares that the gospel has been established. I want you to notice this where he says in verse 32 of Acts 2, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. And being raised up or resurrected, that's the best news. Because if he wasn't raised, then as Paul will say, talking about the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15 to those at Corinth, if Jesus is not raised, then we're still in our sins. And if we're still in our sins, then we're of all men most miserable. So that's not good news. But Paul is saying it is good news because he is raised. And so in Acts chapter 2, in verse 33, if you're still there, now you see the kingdom of God. That's not from this world. In verse 33, therefore being by the right hand of God. That's the kingdom's throne. Where? In heaven. We as apostles received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus is at the right hand of the throne of God. He's been exalted. and now reigning and ruling with all power and authority that was given to him, he is sitting on the throne. And so we have the kingdom established. And so now when we pray, by the way, we don't pray, thy kingdom come. Why don't we pray that? Because the kingdom's here. Colossians 1:13 says we've been translated into the kingdom. So we know we're in the kingdom now. And that's good news, isn't it? And if it's a kingdom that's not from this world, a kingdom that cannot be destroyed in Hebrews 12:28, it's an unshakable kingdom, then what does that mean regarding all the kingdoms of the world versus the kingdom that we're in now? The kingdoms of this world are shakable. They can be destroyed. That's bad news. Don't ever set your hope on the good old United States of America. I like it here, but I know I'm not staying here. The kingdom that I'm a member of and that is eternal and that is good news and never will be destroyed by man is the kingdom that reigns and rules from heaven. That's not from this world. That's what Jesus said, John 18:36. Now, the book of Romans and 1 Corinthians 15, and I'll let the lesson be yours. All of what we just said is why in Romans 1, verse 15 and 16, Paul says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, good news of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to also the Greek. Now, fast forward to chapter 3. The bad news is in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The good news is in Romans 5, verse 8, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The good news is in Romans 6:23, The wages of sin is death. That's bad news. The good news is the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why? He was resurrected. And we're going to come back to Romans 6, verses 1 and 5. I need you to fast forward to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and following. And remember a moment ago I was quoting from this. It's in verse 16 and 17. If the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Well, Christ is raised, and so your faith is not in vain, and you're not in your sins if you've obeyed the gospel. Now, chapter 15, verses 1 and following defines very precisely the gospel, the answer to our question and everything we've talked about. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand. You can stand in the gospel. You betcha. By which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. You remember what I said at the very beginning when I asked the question, what is the gospel? I'm always asking myself, Randy, what's the gospel? I need to remind myself what the gospel is, because if I have to be reminded, what does that mean I can also do? I can forget. Now, you ever wonder why we partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week and we don't do it annually or quarterly or on? We do it every first day of the week, just as the Bible says. You know why? Because it's called a memorial. What does that mean? That means we tend to forget things, and that's why memorials are important. Well, that's what Paul's saying about the gospel here. If you keep it in memory, then verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Peter, Cephas, and then the 12 apostles. Then he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. It's 512 people here, of whom, or 511, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that, seen of James. It's 513. Of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me, Apostle Paul, one born out of due time. And that's the gospel. Now, what do we do with the gospel? Look at Romans 6. Go back to Romans 6. Did you know you can obey the gospel? And listen to what Paul reminds them at Rome, what they did. And tell me if this is not what they, if this is not obeying the gospel. What shall I say then, Paul says, or we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, God forbid that. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection when we were baptized and raised out of that watery grave of baptism, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. And that's good news right there. And I could read this entire chapter and I could emphasize to you the action of the gospel. How you obey it from your heart in verse 17, this form of doctrine. The gospel that's been delivered unto you. And in a very simple, 10 minutes? 12? That's the gospel. And when we obey that, we can be raised to walk in a newness of life. And so the question is, we always want to offer the invitation of our Lord and Savior, which is the good news, the gospel, that you can be saved. If you believe the gospel and you're willing to repent of your sins, remember, all have sinned, so you all have to repent, and are willing and will confess Christ before men publicly, that he is the Son of the living God before men. It's called the homologia, saying the same thing that we have all said that have obeyed the gospel. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and that is unto salvation in Romans 10, if we would have kept reading. At that point, you're now ready to be baptized, to obey the gospel, be buried with him in baptism, to arise out of that watery grave, having your sins washed away now. That's good news. And that now is what sets you free to then walk in a newness of life all the days of your life, to keep studying and don't forget the gospel. Remember what Paul said? If you remember, you can't forget this. If you forget it, then that's not good. And so that's why we come Wednesday night. That's why we do this, to keep reminding ourselves. And so now I'm getting about almost 15 minutes, and Chad's looking at me funny. But that's the gospel in a nutshell. And if you need to obey it and respond to the invitation, the opportunity is yours. If you need the prayers of the congregation as a child of God to be strengthened, if you've sinned, if you need to repent before us, having brought reproach against the church, then we can pray for you right now as together we stand and we sing. Won't you come?